From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The winter solstice is here, the shortest day, the longest night, and the touch of frost, or maybe even a few feet of snow where you are. But by fires and floodlights, across a cold, dark hemisphere, there is also the warmth of tradition and songs that fill the air in celebration of light and life.
So the shortest day came, and the year died. And everywhere down the centuries of the snow-white world came people singing, dancing, to drive the dark away. And when the new day's sunshine blazed awake, they shouted, reveling.
For 35 years now, the Revels Performing Arts Company has brought seasonal rituals and traditional song from around the world to communities across America, from French medieval wassails to ancient English carols, Russian Christmas hymns, and Appalachian folk songs. They light up the winter, most of all, with their Christmas revels. This hour on Point, we mark faith, hope, and the winter solstice with 6 centuries of dance your feet off, sing your heart out music of the revels. You can join the conversation. Are you ready for some music to light up the long nights? Are you open to the winter magic of the revels? Are you hungry for it? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And I'm joined in the studio by a wonderful gang today to dive into the music and the season. 4 members of the revels. Let me introduce them to you. Musical director George Emblin, musical director for the past 20 years, a conductor, composer, organist. George, thanks so much for being with
us. Great to be here, Tom.
Also with us, revels artistic director Patrick Swanson, been directing theater for over 30 years in Europe and the U.S. and many times with the Revels. Patrick, thank you for joining us.
Great to be here.
Standing tall and ready to sing when the time comes, Daniela Tosic, featured mezzo-soprano in this year's Revels. Daniela, wonderful to have you.
Great to be here. Thank you.
And Michael Culver, Revels musician and countertenor, who is armed today on his lap with a long, lean, fascinating-looking thing, the what is it, Michael?
Clavicitherium.
Clavicitherium. Looks like a kind of fancy harpsichord, and we'll hear more for that. I'm so glad that you're all with us. George, remind us what the revels are all about here.
The revels are, I would say, equal parts celebration and theatrical entertainment. We really take the traditional and early music from around the world from a certain period in time, and we present it on stage in a way that really brings the season into focus and brings people together to celebrate.
It's song, it's dance, it's ritual, now in 10 cities, I think, across the country.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And in many seasons now, but first launched around the winter solstice in this dark time of year.
Yes, that's our biggest production, and that's where it all began, in the time of the winter when it's darkest. And the day, particularly today, when it's the longest night of the year and the shortest day in which the earth tilts towards summer. And it's a moment which has been celebrated from time immemorial in one way or another. We mark that time.
Days growing shorter every day until this day and starting tomorrow longer. But it's dark. Patrick Swanson, you're the artistic director. That's what I suppose with the Christmas revels, that's what you're hooking into, that sense of the dark, the hearth, the celebration, the gatherings against the dark.
That's the context, I think. Yeah, it's possibly, quite possibly, the oldest celebration known to man. One can imagine,
older than the maypole, older than the harvest fest.
Oh, I think so.
Because we're huddled together in a cave somewhere.
Well, maybe. I mean, that's sort of what one can imagine that in very primitive times, very primitive societies. That business of things dying off was rather anxiety provoking.
Yeah.
And if you can think into a state of mind of a very primitive society, hoping for a time when crops would grow again and they could be warm, they could feed themselves, then that suddenly becomes a tremendously important part of the calendar.
Music almost as a substitute for sunshine in those dark days. Lighting things up when the sun is not around for long.
Maybe, making a loud noise, making it in order to mark that moment when things turn.
We're going to look in this hour, we're going to listen to the tremendous range of music that the Revels have celebrated over the 35 years, from Armenia and Italy, from the Gypsy tradition, Scandinavia, Mesoamerica, I mean, French and English Middle Ages, Appalachia, Celtic tradition, and right across. This year, you're kind of going back to your roots, George, with a medieval show again, with a French and English emphasis, if I've
right.
got it right.
That's exactly right. We are specifically, we are choosing 1399 as our date of this is when we're celebrating the solstice, and it's in a specific part of England, Haddon Hall in Derbyshire. And but we go out from there. We reach across the channel to France, where we found some troubadours who are singing some wonderful French music for us,
yeah.
and we have Italian dance. We even have a German carol, In Dulce Jubilo, which we start the show with. So it's a little bit international.
How great. 1399, a time at which, I mean, the English and French, well, they had a lot to do with one another, to say the least. One way or another.
Yeah.
I want to get right into the music. There's a lot we're going to hear live and off of some of the discs that you all have put together. Daniela Tosic, you've got this piece, Douze Dames Debonair. Tell us about it. Sing it for us.
It's something I sing together with Michael, and he also plays. It's a dialogue between Fauvel, who is our main character in the Revels this year.
Mm-hmm.
He stands for everything that went wrong in the French society in the 1300s.
Mm-hmm.
Corruption, lascivious, greed, everything. And his name actually spells all those sins that he assigns to. That's right.
Right.
And I'm Dame Fortune in the show.
Yes.
And he's wooing me. And,
yes.
And I'm just playing hot and cold with him and not letting him get to me. But then I reject him ultimately.
You're standing tall and beautiful in your winter sweater. And Michael Colfer with your, I'm going to just croak on this instrument, the clavistherium in your lap. Daniela Tosic and Michael Colfer, let's hear it.
Douze dames débonnaires,
Fauvel, que te faut?
Mon cœur voudrait s'arrêter traire,
sans entre de faute.
Ne vous enchantez,
mes mauvaises dames,
puisqu'on s'y est que faire.
Je
Vaille me prendre Marie,
Jojo sur Marie,
douce dame, que ferai-je?
Je m'amour de te l'errer.
Ne sais que je puisse faire,
mais donc s'il s'en
volontiers vers vous m'aire,
ne sois pas si haut,
lasse je vous ainsi.
Wonderful. Daniela Tosic and Michael Colfer, way up there in the range, with Douze Dames Debonair, how debonair they are. George Emlyn, always this close intertwining of the secular and the sacred this time of year. This one not sacred. This is a kind of a slice of life being told here.
I would say anything but sacred. It's got the profane all shot through it. Because he is a very lascivious character, despicable character, really, and he embodies all the sins, as Daniela says, of the excesses of the church and the state at the time. It was a very satirical piece that was written early in the 14th century. It was very popular. It was repeated throughout the 14th century, and it must have been performed any number of times, not just in England, or not just in France, but across Europe.
And Patrick, that mix of sacred and secular this time of year, I mean, it's a very tight one. We see it even in debate in America right now, the war on Christmas, what's secular, what's sacred. But in this music, we see it, and we just heard it right there. It goes right back. I mean, this was the time of songs of the Nativity and holiness and you name it, and also the bawdiest, most lascivious celebration there.
That's, I think, always been associated with this time of the year. You know, a lot of people lay claim to what, for instance, what Christmas is about. And it's interesting how much of that is comparatively modern. You know, most of the things that we associate with Christmas nowadays is Christmas cards and presents and Christmas tree and that sort of thing is really Victorian. It was brought over by Prince Albert, who really was injecting a little bit of the old Yule feast. And the Yule feast is a pagan, drinking and making merry around the
first
Yule
to last. And yet, with these dark days, we have this strong association with sacred chants and sacred hymns, and no shortage of sacred music in this season.
That's right. I think, you know, at some point, a very savvy person in the church decided that it was kind of pointless trying to push this idea of the Christmas feast at the other time of the year in competition with all that was going on around the shortest day. And so they moved the calendar
and it was scooped
to make
an
overlay. And so you have this multi-layered feast now representing all sorts of sacred and secular traditions.
A feast for musicians as well. We are celebrating the winter solstice and more in this hour with music from across six centuries and the tradition of the revels. You can join the conversation. Are you curling up with French wassail, medieval chants on this darkest day of the year, breaking out candles and stoking a fire? You can join us, 1-800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Served is in retinence atri o caput apri de vera
I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. We're celebrating the winter solstice with music from across six centuries today in the tradition of the revels. You may have them in your city at this point. They're in New York and Washington, Oakland, California, Houston, Texas, Tacoma, and Portland, and Boulder. 10 cities across the country, in each and every one, celebrating the traditions of many seasons. And, of course, at this time of the year, the tradition of the Christmas season and the solstice across many traditions. You can join our conversation in this hour. Do you know the revels? And have they been part of your deep of winter tradition? What's the message that comes down across the centuries from our forefathers and mothers on the magic of the winter solstice? I'm joined in the studio by George Emlin, music director for 20 years at the Revels, Patrick Swanson, artistic director, Daniela Tosic, Revel singer, mezzo-soprano, you just heard a bit of her, and Michael Culver, singer, and also today armed with the, Michael, tell me once more.
I will. Clavicitharium.
The clavicitharium. It's beautiful, kind of harpsichord on the lap right here. I want to get more of this season in our ear if we can. Hear it from the 1990 production of The Revels is Alleluia. It's the Dmitri Pokrovsky Ensemble. In the time of Perestroika back in the 90s, The Revels performed this beautiful 17th century hymn from the Russian Orthodox Church. Alleluia there, performed in 1990 by the Revels, there from 17th century Russia. George Elman, I wish you'd describe for us the breadth of material that you've looked to over the years to bring this season home. I mean, we have this powerful association with the kind of French and English traditions because they're so strong in the American ear. But you've looked right across a big palette there. Where have you looked? How far have you stretched?
You know, this is an endless topic. We just go as far and wide as we need to go in order to keep find a way to celebrate the season in a way which is consonant with our own roots, which is admittedly Anglo-American. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't stretch beyond that, because we certainly do, but there's a great deal that we can find from around the world. And the thing that's fascinating to me is that it can be art music, or often very centuries-old music, mm-hmm. or it can be traditional music. Mm-hmm. And the wonderful thing that Revels does is the way it blends it. And there's a wonderful quote that I came across by a man named A.L. Lloyd, Bert Lloyd, and he said, "Deep at the root, there's no essential difference between folk music and art music. They are varied blossoms from the same stock, grown to serve a similar purpose, if destined for different tables." And I think we celebrate that. I think we reach to Armenia and to Mexico and to Italy and to Norway in order to find that music and find the commonality between the art and the traditional music. And that extends to the dance, too, and the storytelling, and blend it together on the stage.
And beyond certainly in Mesoamerica, but beyond the Christian tradition as well, I recall revels where there were songs of the turtle, if I've got that right.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
Something out of Jewish tradition as well.
So, the Voice of the Turtle is a wonderful ensemble that we had on stage in 1991, and singing Sephardic Jewish music and songs from the Middle East. That was the dramatic setup was that we were at a cultural crossroads in the middle of Europe, and these were visitors from the East, mm-hmm. and we managed to celebrate the darkest time of the year at the same time bringing in these mysterious visitors with their stories of Nasruddin and these wonderful Sephardic songs.
And Mesoamerica, how did you make that work? That's far from, let's say, Oslo.
Yeah, it's interesting that most of the solstice traditions kind of northern hemisphere because
when it's dark. That's when we're huddled.
That's right. So as you move down into Mesoamerica, for instance, it's interesting, the metaphors disappear and you actually get down to the real thing. In Mexico, they don't celebrate some metaphorical death. They celebrate death. Mm. The kids eat little skeletons and skulls and things. But the sun, of course, is very central to the Aztec culture. And
sure, and there's a common
Toltec
point.
Toltec. Yeah. And the stories of creation involve, that same sort of mystery of life and death. Mm. And the calendrical references are very strong, so that you have this sense that you have to pay attention to where the longest day is, where the shortest day is, and that there is these cycles in life as well as in the calendar, and that you, at your peril, you sort of neglect those. And it's interesting how far away our modern culture has grown from that. You know, that we don't really have a sense of climactic changes in the same way that you would if you were working in the field.
The fluorescent lights are on.
Sure.
We work on. And yet every time I've been, you can feel in that hall that kind of collective yearning to be part of this. There's a communal experience your audiences are encouraged to participate in, but they
right.
clearly bring an instinct for it.
Well, yeah, it's interesting that that's also maybe tied to the time of year. You know, that yearning for communitas, you know, for a sort of temporary community, maybe is made easier by the fact that people are gathering in their own ways to celebrate this old feast.
I want to keep this music in our ear. We're so happy to have the musicians in the studio with us today, Daniela and Michael. You've got another song for us, Daniela. Señor Adams?
It's actually Michael's.
So Michael's, excuse me. Michael, please.
Yes, Señor Adams is a little segment of the Fauvel book where Fauvel, this horse donkey, is addressing his court.
The horse donkey. Now,
yeah.
Help us catch up with that.
Well, for Revels, he's a donkey, and this donkey is addressing his court, and he's saying that he's not married, and he wants to take a wife. He's heard of Fortune, and she's quite pretty. He wants to marry her, and so you have to remember in all of this, he's talking about marriage, but he's a bad guy.
And just remember, remind us why a donkey has a court here. What's going on there?
Well, there's a nice double thing of the the allegory of a donkey and an ass, and there are all these kinds of things that are happening where if you make a religious or a political leader an animal, it's kind of a it's not a complimentary thing.
It's an elephant or a donkey or an ass or you name it, and we know
but
it
it's
well.
Not a mascot. This fellow is not the high French society, the new middle class or upper middle class, didn't like being told what to do, and they're reacting, and this book was that. And anyway, what he's doing is he's addressing the court, and he's not a nice fellow. He's trying to double talk him and say, you know, you're like me, and you're of my lineage, and I want to get married. So anyway, I'm going to try and portray it not as a cute little donkey, but this is maybe a little less cute than our typical rebels donkey. This
Michael
is the
Culver,
dark side.
With the clavicere therium in lap, off we go. Michael Culver there with the sound of 14th century France in our 21st century ears on this, the winter solstice day. I'm joined by a wonderful group from the Revels, singing their hearts out every year at this time of year, not only this season, but maybe most notably this season in Cambridge, Massachusetts, in 10 cities and towns around the country, maybe in yours. You can join us at 800-423-8255. What do you yearn for? What do you hear in the music of the deep of winter at solstice time? Diana's calling from Somerville, Massachusetts. Hi, Diana. You're on the air.
Hi, and hi to everybody there. I'm actually playing with these guys in the Cambridge Revels this year.
Oh, great. Great. How's it going for you? First time?
Yes, my first time. It's, in fact, my first time experiencing the Revels at all. And it's been really moving. For one thing, these are terrific musicians, and it's an honor to work with everybody. And George and I go way, way back, and I've heard great things about Patty, and they're all true. And
Diana, what do you get from it, from playing in it, from listening to it, from being part of it? What does it bring you this time of year?
Well, it's really moving to see the community so get so much joy out of it. And each performance, we've done 5 performances so far, and each one I feel myself get more and more involved, just really swept up in the joy that everyone brings to it. And it really, it's been a very moving experience.
What's your instrument, Diana? What's your instrument?
I am a sackbut player, and I'm playing viol, which is a medieval-style fiddle in this show, and I'm also a singer.
Oh, there you go.
I'm using all these skills in the show, which has been fun in itself.
Right.
Don't get to do that much.
Right in the thick of it, right in the dark of the year. Diana, thanks very, very much for your call. George Emlyn, going out of the first segment there, we had the Boar's Head Carol, and we heard singing there the Revels' founder, John Langstaff, who died just a year ago.
A week ago.
A year ago. I mean,
no,
pardon me.
It's just last Tuesday.
I'm sorry. I've got my calendar all mixed up here. So just on the eve of this year's 35th Revels.
Right.
But an inspiration and the founder. I mean, taking it all the way back to, I think his first stab at it was in the late 50s in New York City, as I recall.
That's right, 1957, a prototype Revels in New York, a town hall there. And then a TV special with NBC in the 60s, mid-60s. And finally, it came to Cambridge in 1971 and really took off for real.
And the impulse that he first had here, I mean, this isn't the music of the American shopping mall. This is something else he was reaching for.
It's exactly the polar opposite, I would say. He had so much that he brought from his own life into this show that finally crystallized into the Christmas Revels. It was his own upbringing as a young chorister, a really remarkable boy soprano in New York City, his own family parties, in Brooklyn Heights, New York.
This is a family where Gilbert and Sullivan and Bach chorales were part of home life.
Exactly. He loved Gilbert and Sullivan. He was introduced at a tender age of 14 to Morris dance and folk music that he was absolutely enthralled with. So he blended all of that in. Plus, he was very broad in the sense that he loved every form of art, whether it was high art or low art. He was fascinated by it and fascinated by the stage. And he brought all that together. And, of course, he loved children. Children was very central to him. He was a remarkable teacher in the Potomac School in Washington, D.C., and then later here in Cambridge at Shady Hill School. And people just gravitated to him and took so much away from his teaching.
His vision now propagated right across the country, coast to coast, in so many venues. And still there are many towns where, at least in the form of the Revels, this isn't there. Have you found America fertile soil for this, resistant to this? Does it sit in a place of ambiguity between the sacred and secular that's welcomed or seen as confusing to some people?
I'd say there's some confusion to it, but there is a response on some level from a lot of people. And people don't know quite what to make of it in some communities, but other people respond immediately. It's the kind of thing that if you were trying to mount on your own, it would be difficult to do, and I think a number of communities around the country have expressed interest and not really found themselves equal to the task, because it requires a certain amount of critical mass. You need you need all these elements to make it.
All the performers, the audience to be there in strength.
And you need some really gung-ho people to push it along all the time. You need very high-quality performance from brass ensemble, dancers, and the production values are very high, even though you're working with traditional material and amateur singers to give it that kind of exuberance. Still, the lighting, costumes are all very, very high quality.
And John Langstaff, founder, visionary here, died just a week ago. Must have felt great satisfaction by the time he reached 80 plus with what he had wrought here.
He certainly had left us with a great legacy. By the time he died, we were ready to carry on.
We're talking about the winter solstice and the revels in that solstice. Let's go out of this segment with Njord det jul igen, or something like that, from Scandinavia. And now Yule has come again. I'm Tom Ashbrook. You can join us at 1-800-423-8255 with the music of the season. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
You Support for On Point comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, Bicon Dental Implants, offering short implants that can eliminate the need for bone grafting. Information is available at Bicon.com, BICON.com, and Private Wealth Management at Babson Capital, for more than 60 years helping clients build and preserve wealth through financial planning, investment management, and trust services in Cambridge and on the web at BabsonCapital.com.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We are celebrating the winter solstice with music from across six centuries and the tradition of the revels. I'm joined by George Emlyn, Patrick Swanson, Daniela Tosic, and Michael Culver, all participating in this year's revels, and many of them for many years now. You can join us as well at 1-800-423-8255. Is this the season when you're ready to pick up the harp, to kick up your heels, to join the spirit of the season in music and song? Let's hear a little bit here from the 1986 revels. Here's a song called Wondrous Love. 86 was the year of Appalachia at the revels. Here's American folk song, unknown origin, but found in many American hymnals, sung here by the beautiful, in the beautiful voice of native Appalachian folk singer Jean Ritchie.
What wondrous love is this, oh my soul, what wondrous love is this, oh my soul, what wondrous love is this, that to send this perfect peace to my soul, to send this perfect peace.
Jean Ritchie singing Wondrous Love in the 1986 revels. George Emlyn, what makes a piece of music fit into a Christmas revels, a winter solstice celebration for you? Not obvious, I mean, a beautiful song, love is a theme of this season, but not obvious why this would be, to me, why this would be solstice rather than spring or you name it.
I think you could make a case for Wondrous Love being a very essential Christian message, and this being this sort of central time for a central Christian feast. I think, you know, Wondrous Love is pretty appropriate. But more importantly, I think that we sing a lot and present a lot of material on stage which is not about Christmas specifically, because really it's an opportunity for us to celebrate. And we celebrate with secular and sacred material, and sometimes you might even say pagan material, that it really is much more all-inclusive than Christmas. And, you know, you can think of that Fauvel story as being an entertainment that's taking place at the feast of Christmas.
The donkey story.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with Christmas per se.
But we're there to be entertained.
Exactly.
At the hearth, around the fire. Mary's calling from Holden, Massachusetts. Hi, Mary, you're on the air.
Good morning. I just wanted to comment that my family has been going to the revels for at least the past decade and are planning on going this year, with the entire program memorized.
Are you ready to stand up and sing and dance?
I really think we could. My brother knows the entire Welcome Yule speech.
And what do you get from it? What does your family take away from that kind of observance?
Well, it's been so central to our celebration, like every year. Like, we go as a family the day after Christmas, just go out for like a nice family festive gathering. And it's just become something that we do almost annually.
And now you know it by heart. Thanks for that. Thanks for calling, Mary. Let's hear a bit more from this year's revels. Here, Daniela Tosic again and Michael Culver. Daniela, tell us about this tune, Ovarium Fortune.
This next tune is something I sing as I spin my wheel. I'm the Dame Fortune in this show, mm-hmm. and I get to favor some people over others.
Yes, and Fortune does.
That's right. And I'm very fickle and I'm slippery and it's hard to predict what I'm going to do, which way I'm going to spin the wheel. But I decide to favor Fauvel at this very point, and I bring him up on high, much to the dismay of everybody else. That is to change, of course, later. But for the moment, I am giving him a chance to feel good about himself.
Mm. Ovarian Fortune. Let's hear it.
Dance. There's a very gentle turning of fortune's wheel, I would say. Absolutely beautiful. Daniela Tosic and Michael Culver with Ovarium Fortune from this year's Revels. Let's take a call. Elizabeth is calling from Lexington, Massachusetts. Hi, Elizabeth. You're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi.
I have been going to Revels with my family for 20-odd years, every year, and it's been a very important event in our lives. You know, we get that plan in place, you know, and have about 17 people who go with us every year.
That's a big chunk of the house. May I ask you, Mary, is it sacred? Is it secular? Is it religious? Is it the season? What pulls you?
It's about the solstice. I mean, we're mm-hmm. we're Jewish. We're Jewish. Mm-hmm.
There you are.
The Christmas revels, but. For my family, I think that the connections to traditional music are really important. And mm-hmm. my son had wanted to be in the Revels from the time he was about 4 years old. And then last year and the year before, he had the wonderful, wonderful experience of being in the children's chorus, which was really a life-changing event for him to have a sense about what this this event meant from the inside out.
I mean, for any child to be on stage when the lights go down, but this one in particular, what did he take from it?
What did he take from being in the...
Yeah, they're right at the heart of it.
I think he had a sense of belonging to this community on stage, a sense about what it took to create this ritual that's such a wonderful touch point for the audience. But also for the community that's on stage, that and the sense that the community that I think George and Patty create among the amateur performers is a very warm and loving community, and gives people, I think, a sense of their own possibility for musical development and for being able to participate in this. And my son is very excited about coming this year and seeing the show.
Fabulous.
As excited as any time.
And we hear it. To have your family and even your children right there at the heart of it. Children, always an important part of the Revel celebration. I want to listen to just one example of that. Here, it's a song called There Was a Pig. The kids sing an old mummer's carol, a variant of Greensleeves, with the agricultural theme echoing the magic of animals and the Christmas legend, There Was a Pig. There it is. There was a pig, and the kids right in there with the mummer's carol. And Patrick, we hear that rhythm of the kind of dance there, even in the child's song.
Yeah, it's very strong. You know, the old carols were really dances originally. They were dancing in a circle and singing at the same time. And a lot of these songs, I think, have that underlying dance rhythm. It's part of the attraction of this traditional material.
I want to keep a sense of the range of the music here as well. There's another cut here. This is from just 5 years ago, the 2000 Revels. Children, Go Where I Send Thee. This an African-American variant of the carol, The 12 Days of Christmas, everybody knows. In this song, I guess we can also hear how carols spring from ancient Hebrew liturgy. Kind of this rebirth through interpretation of an entirely different folk ritual. Let's listen to Children, Go Where I Send Thee.
Children, go
children, Gorai Sendi, and there's a different rhythm, the kind of backbeat moving up strongly there. Wonderful. And the kids again. Let's take a call from Vashon Island in Washington State. Gene's calling. Hi, Gene. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. In 1982, I was taken as a spectator to the revels in New York City, and I had a very good seat right down in front. And then the opening act, a very beautiful young woman came out solo, stood right in the front of the stage and sang The Holly and the Ivy. Mm. And during the show, my friends leaned over and said, you know, they have a lot of good amateur singers here, and you could audition if you'd like.
Okay.
So the next year I went back and auditioned. The beautiful young woman wasn't there, but I was hooked, and I have sung in 11 revels over the years in New York and mostly in Washington, D.C., and tonight on the winter solstice, I'll go in the audience to the revels here in Puget Sound in Tacoma.
How wonderful.
And be a part of that. It's a wonderful musical tradition and a great national treasure. Jack Langstaff and Patrick Swanson and all the crew take a great credit for making this happen.
Sounds like the music itself has become that beautiful singer for you, that beautiful woman for you.
Sure, that's one way to put it.
That's terrific. Gene, thank you for calling and enjoy that performance in Tacoma. I want to get one more right here in our studios, if we may, from this year's Revels trio this time. Fauvel nous a fait présent, if I've got that right. Daniela, can you tell us about it?
Sure. It's one of the motets from the Middle Ages that it's actually it has three lines that are very independent and they weave around each other. There is no choral harmony that we're used to nowadays. Mm-hmm. And what's very unusual about this is that every line has its own text.
Wow.
So everybody's singing a different text completely. And the reason is, if you do that, one line can have a very overt social and political critique. And while it's sung, nobody can really decipher it clearly. So it's one way to avoid censorship. It's very clever.
Jumble it up and off we go. Daniela, Michael Culver, and George Emlyn, please. Three lines. If that's three different conversations, they sure fit together beautifully. Mm-hmm. And the French influence there, enormous, once again, from this year's revels. Patrick Swanson, I wonder what this leaves you thinking about the whole conversation in the United States. I mean, you clearly reach out here across many traditions, and in this revels case, don't reject the pagan, but kind of understand it as the backdrop to so much of the sacred that came later. Do you find a confluence there, a conflict? How do you see it?
Well, it's interesting. There is an ambiguity there. There's a balancing point. And I think, you know, Jack Langstaff always talked about looking for the dark in the show.
What did he mean by that?
Well, that you know, these opposites are necessary to live side by side with each other. You can't have dark without light. You can't have light without dark. There's a lovely little story in one of the revels this year about, you know, a kid's story about the girl who goes out and she finds death coming up the beach, and she catches him and puts him inside a shell, and she's eliminated death, you know, and she throws him in the sea. Mm. And then she goes back to the village, and the cow will not, or rather the chicken can't have its head chopped off, so she can't have chicken soup. And nothing in the village
nothing
dies.
Works because
and,
death is
and
captive.
It's a terrible situation. It's just awful. And everybody is down on her, so she has to go back and find the shell and take death out again and say, I'm sorry. And he says, yeah, you know, you need me.
What a wonderful story.
Yeah, it's an interesting way of putting this big mystery in a very simple kind of kid's story way.
Capturing the dark and understanding
what Rebels is trying to do. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, with a salute to John Jack Langstaff and to all of you, we're very grateful to you for being with us. Thanks for sharing this music on this Solstice Day. Patrick Swanson, George Emlyn, Daniela Tosic, and Michael Culver, wonderful to have you all with us.
Thank you very much.
The Christmas Revels will be performing through December 30th. For more information and a link to the Revels, go to our website, onpointradio.org. We'll go out with the Sussex Mummers Carol. If you know the Revels, you know this song. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR, National Public Radio.